The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Listening to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. If you're just tuning in and you want to give us a call, the number is 530-605-4567. If you want to chat with us or you'd like to listen to us streaming live, go to readingteaparty.com, click on radio show, and all the information will be there. You can find out about all of our sponsors and previous shows. We archive everything. We're here from 8 to 10 every Sunday morning. This morning we have Dr. Michael Kaufman, who was with us last week. He has so much to talk about that we are thrilled that he's coming back again today and has 2 full hours to fill in all the blanks from what we didn't get yesterday. And we're here with Nate, who is our new sound engineer, Chandler.
Good morning.
And it's Aaron and Elizabeth. Good morning.
Hey, everybody out there. We've been hearing Dr. Michael Kaufman around the North State this week. He's going to finish his tour of California, actually, tomorrow night at the Reading Tea Party meeting, 6 p.m., Bonneville Baptist Church on South Bonneville. And I would get there early if I were you. Saw a bunch of people at the logging conference yesterday, and they're all coming. So get there early, and you can catch them before they jump on a plane and head back to Bangor, Maine. So let's see. Let's get right into Dr. Kaufman.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds good to me.
Since nobody's listening to listen to us, let's get to our guest. Dr. Michael Kaufman has written several books, but he has written one recently called Rescuing a Broken America, Why America is Deeply Divided and How to Heal It Constitutionally. This book is incredible.
It is. Highly recommend it.
He told us how long it was going to be, and I believe Dr. Kaufman's online with us. He can give us the...
hard to put this book down.
Give us a scoop. Tell him how long it was supposed to be. I forget. You told him in Wairika last night.
I actually wrote it about 8 years ago, and it was over 1,000 pages long because I had done a thorough job in researching and all the rest. Realized that that was too long for a seller, so I put it aside, did a lot of work on the global warming issue here the last few years, and then when Obama took office recently and we begin to see all of the problems that were coming up because of that, I thought to myself, you know, this is exactly what I said was going to happen when I wrote the book, and as a consequence, I thought it had to get out, so I condensed it down to about 200 easy-to-read pages and been very pleased with the comments and so forth back from not only conservatives, are people really wanting to know what was going on, but also liberals who voted for Obama because they have been disillusioned with some of his actions, and now they have a full understanding of what's really going on, and they didn't before. And I've actually gotten quite a few compliments from liberals as well.
Well, I can't say it's not educational. And the biggest thing I want to really let our listeners know is that everything that you are saying can actually be backed up with science and with fact.
Yes.
None of these things are some loose, ethereal, conspiratorial, connect the dots if you see the world through this knothole. This stuff is a linear progression of information and events that you have basically done a chronology on.
Absolutely. I don't remember how many references I have, but I have literally hundreds and hundreds of references going back to either newspaper events that describe something that's happening or the actual sole document, source documents for what I'm talking about is going on behind the scenes.
Well, that part is the one piece of the puzzle that our local newspaper missed. When you spoke at the logging conference Thursday morning, they had, I'll bring the newspaper. I'll grab it during our 9 o'clock break. I'll run out and get it. They had basically said it was a left-right thing, and it's like, oh, fellas, you missed the point. We need to take our first break here this morning and thank our advertisers. We will be back with Dr. Michael Kaufman. He is the author of Rescuing a Broken America, a book you can pick up. Also, if you're not a big reader, you can catch it on DVD. Tomorrow night, Reading Tea Party meeting at 2570 South Bonneville here in Reading. So we're going to take a little break. Be right back with you. We are on KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media. Down on the corner.
Good morning. Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Just a quick shout out to our sponsors. We've got North State Tax Consultants, Miller Auto Transport, and All Temp Tactical Lube. And if you want to find out about those sponsors or get their contact information, go to readingteaparty.com, click on radio show, and everything you need to find is right there. And very quickly, if you want to give us a call this morning, the number is 605-4567.
Good one. Doesn't help when we don't tell them the number till the very end.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It helps if we tell them the number. All right, Dr. Kaufman, go.
Yes.
Go get them. What do they need to know?
Well, there is a lot that we need to know. First of all, I think everybody acknowledges that we're deeply divided in this country, and very few people really understand why. They realize it's Republican, Democrats, but it's not really Republican and Democrats. It's a worldview that's actually coming into our country, has been for at least 100 years or more, that is based on the philosophy of who is known as Jean-Jacques Rousseau back in France in the 18th century. Our Constitution, the whole form of government that we have currently, is based on the writings of John Locke. In fact, if you look at the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, some of the phrases in both of those documents come directly out of his writings. The Founding Fathers were students of his, and as a consequence, what they had done is set up a system of governance in which private property rights were the key to economic freedom, freedom in general, as well as economic growth. You really cannot create wealth without private property rights. In spite of what the United Nations tries to tell you, in spite of what the government tries to tell you, and how wonderful all these regulations are and so forth, they're economy killers, every single one. We spend currently about $1.2 trillion a year in meeting the requirements of various regulations. Some of those are necessary. We're not against regulations. But there is an excessive amount of regulations, way, way excessive. And it's really hurting our economy. That's the reason we have not recovered from this recession that we're in. It's why we have almost 9.2% unemployment. It's because our regulatory structure is very punitive. It dampens our economy. And now that it's gone down, it can't recover because businesses do not want to risk capital input to create new jobs when they think the government's going to be passing new regulations, it's going to basically take all that away, health care, the Financial Reform Act, and so forth. And the whole point of this is that there is a alternative worldview that Obama is following, the Democratic and Republican, it doesn't matter, are following in Congress, in their state legislature, and so forth, that is totally opposite what our founders actually created the government on. If you look at how our Constitution is written and why it's written the way it is, what you find is that the whole effort was deliberately trying to keep the government small, inefficient. Now, I say inefficient with a capital I, because they realized that if government was efficient, government would become all-powerful and would take your liberties away. And ironically, the last 30 years, all you've ever heard from any administration, Republican or Democrat, is that we must make government more efficient. And as a consequence, as they try to do this with new laws, what happens is our liberties are slowly taken away. And most of the time, people do not realize that they're being hit personally at one level, which they think is unfair and unreasonable and so forth. But they don't realize that other regulations that affect other people are doing exactly the same thing. Like I said before, it takes about $1.2 trillion out of our economy unnecessarily. And as a consequence, what we're seeing here is a deadly, deadly attack on the very foundation of our nation. Our founders created a government in which the individual is sovereign. You've heard the expression, we the people, having the control over our various levels of government and so forth. We're the of the people, for the people, and by the people. But what's coming in is exactly the opposite of that from Jean-Jacques Rousseau, where the government is sovereign over the individual. where we have no rights other than what the government gives us. And what the government give us, the government can take it away. And consequently, we see more and more oppression. It's rather ironic, I think, that Thomas Jefferson, after seeing what happened in France after the French Revolution and the implementation of the Rousseau model of government, he came back. In fact, that particular endeavor, when he went over to France along with Patrick Henry, both of them wound up in jail, even though he had been an ambassador previously to France, because they were so outspoken against the model that the French were actually implementing after the Revolution. And Patrick Henry was so outspoken, as you probably have heard what he did here in the United States as well, that the French not only arrested him, but charged him with sedition, and basically were about to guillotine him when Jefferson basically saved him, and they were both sent back to the United States. That's how adamantly against what the type of French government was being established, modeled after the Rousseau government. The Rousseau government basically has spawned fascism, as well as communism, as well as the socialist Europeans that are now utterly failing. We're collapsing one after the other. It's a failed system of governance, and it's coming into the United States. Our current administration in California, as well as the United States, is based on the Rousseau model, and it's utterly failing, and we are going down in flames. We have a $14 trillion debt that's due to exactly this kind of activity, and a $1.5 trillion deficit plan for this year. We cannot survive that, folks. We just cannot survive it. We are in a desperate situation, and all our Rousseau-oriented politicians want to do is to create more debt and more debt and more debt.
Because they're trying to be more efficient.
And that doesn't even include the interest on that debt.
No, it doesn't. Mm. And that's the dangerous thing about this. We are in a very precarious position. Most people don't realize this, but the U.S. dollar is the reserve currency of the world. As such, we have trillions of dollars in circulation worldwide. Nations cannot buy oil from the Mideast or wherever without using dollars. As a consequence, there is a great demand for dollars. Every nation has to have dollars in order to buy fuel, oil, and so forth, for their heating, for their automobiles, and so forth. And because of that, they have to have billions and billions of dollars to buy this oil and other products. If all of a sudden the dollar ceases to be the reserve currency, and there are major, major efforts to do that going on right now, all of a sudden our dollar would become worthless. We would have trillions of dollars being flooded back into the United States. A loaf of bread would now cost $5,000. Who knows? I mean, we would go into hyperinflation, and the dollar bill would be totally destroyed. Another thing that could happen is if we start to look like we're going to default, Moody's and so forth can reduce our bond rating, and as a consequence, our interest rates can skyrocket on the national debt. Right now, they're $600 billion a year. If all of a sudden that doubled to $1.2 trillion a year or more, it would eat up the entire non-designated part of our federal budget, and we would have an utter collapse of the government.
On that happy note, You have 2 minutes to ponder that. We're going to come right back with Dr. Kaufman. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. If you're just tuning in and you want to give us a call, the number is 605-4567. If you want to chat or listen to us streaming live, go to readingteaparty.com and click on radio show. Everything you need to know there, including our sponsors, will be listed on that page. And we are back with Dr. Michael Kaufman, author of Rescuing a Broken America, Why America is Deeply Divided, and How to Heal It Constitutionally. And I have to tell you, it's a fast read, and you cannot put it down.
Dr. Kaufman, did we lose you in there? He's been taken up by the Crescent City. We're flipping all sorts of switches. Did we find him?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. There you are.
Okay.
We've lost you for a minute.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Oh, good. Well, or not good. Other people are like, we don't care about that. We want to hear him. Hey, one of the things, and I know we have an hour and a half left, so it's not like we're pushed, but one of the things that we want to make sure and highlight, I guess, in your message is that this is really global government versus sovereignty. That's really the two basic camps, and it's not a Republican-Democrat thing, because there are tons of Republicans who are global government guys.
Yes, absolutely. Basically, the last three presidents, including this one, have all been globalists that are striving to take us to a world government. I think both Bushes, I think people recognize what they tried to do to implement global governance. The last President Bush tried to institute a North American Union patterned after the European Union. And it failed, but it's being done again by President Obama right now as we speak, quietly behind the scenes, trying to connect the Canadian, U.S., and Mexican borders so that we have just one major border around all of us. That is an effort to create what is called a economic region. This has been a long goal for the United Nations. We've had major meetings on it, United Nations meetings over the decades, the last one being in 2002, whereby they wanted to create what looks like is going to be 10 economic regions around the world. And as a consequence, we would be, as the North American Union, if that's what it winds up being called, would be responsible for the economies of Canada, United States, and Mexico, and I just, God forbid, I can't imagine doing anything with Mexico at this point, but that's what's being done. And eventually, we would be autonomous, we would join together, they would, like the European Union, and we'd all be one huge nation worldwide, and there'd be nine others just like us. And then the central government would be through the United Nations as it currently exists, although there would be some modifications. In fact, those modifications are actually in print. They haven't been done yet, but one of the things that is being planned for the long run, according to their own documentation, is to create another house adjacent to the General Assembly, much like the Congress and Senate within our own system. And the other house, whatever they wind up calling it, will be the People's House, and that will be made up of non-governmental organizations who are supposed to be representing you and I.
Oh, no.
I mean, it is a disgust. I mean, when you think you could have the Sierra Club or the Socialist Party or whatever as members of the United Nations supposedly representing us, we are in a world of hurt.
There are a lot of folks out there who don't know what the NGOs are. Can you... I know Sierra Club, but...
NGOs, that's the acronym for non-governmental organizations. Nature Conservancy is a non-governmental organization. So is the Sierra Club and so forth. All of these pressure, special interests and so forth are called NGOs because they're non-government, and yet they're given a position at the table at almost all levels of government to provide impact or input into what is policy is being formulated for whatever reason. The environmental NGOs, there's hundreds and hundreds of those. There's socialist NGOs. There's education NGOs. You name it. There's a whole slug of them. All of them are actually members of the United Nations, are recognized by United Nations as non-governmental organizations, and would be sending representatives to this new house in the United Nations if it's ever formally developed.
And so what are we looking some of this game, I guess, that they're playing, although the stakes are quite high, some of these games have everything to do with it's all about the buzzwords, you know. It's the back channel buzzwords like sustainability. I had a guy in Washington D.C. He sent me an email and he said, "Oh, we were just really happy with the president's State of the Union speech because he didn't talk about cap and trade." I'm like, I wrote back to him. I said, "Yeah, but he said sustainability like a zillion times. I mean, what are you doing back there?"
Right.
They don't realize that some of these words. That's what they mean.
So what's the buzzword for the People's House that you're talking about?
Well, I can't remember. I'm not sure they ever named it. It's been a while since I've actually looked at that issue. There for a while, it looked like it was going to happen fairly soon, but then other problems came up, and they kind of put it on the back burner. It's going to come up again, and I do not remember even if they had a name for it at that particular point in time. But it's there. It's in writing. It's in black and white. And one of the things that we need to recognize is that these people have all of these plans. They're grandiose, but they're very flexible. They'll change as circumstances change, as well as allowing delays and so forth. A lot of the stuff was supposed to happen before the year 2000, but a number of things happened, including the fact that I was involved in four of us, were involved in stopping the Convention on Biological Diversity, which was basically designed to lock up America into wilderness areas and take our private property rights away. We stopped that in the Senate, and I'll talk about that in the meeting tomorrow night.
We're going to take
that in the Senate from being ratified 1 hour before it was scheduled for ratification.
And
that set them back at least 10 years.
We want to, when we come back, we've got to take a break here, but when we come back, can we pick up on that? Because that is an awesome story. I heard you tell that the other night, and I thought, oh, people want to hear that one. We're going to take a really quick break here. We're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party. If you want to give us a call, the number is 605-4567. Go to reddingteaparty.com and click on Radio Show if you want to chat or want to listen to us streaming live on the Internet. And you can also find out about our sponsors located on that radio page as well. And we're back to Dr. Michael Kaufman.
And he's going to tell us about the big save at the Biological Diversity Conference. Was it a conference?
No, treaty.
It was a treaty, I know, but whatever the thing was, you were. So tell the folks about the facts and all that stuff. It was awesome.
Well, there's a number of things that happened at the Earth Summit in 1992 at Rio de Janeiro. Most of you remember about the Earth Summit, unless you're quite young. That Earth Summit was designed basically to begin the process of taking the world into what was known as global governance. A number of things have been done to bring about global governance. I'll get into that maybe perhaps a little bit later. But one of them was the Convention on Biological Diversity. The Convention on Biological Diversity was written by an international organization called the IUCN, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. It's made up of the EPA, the United States Environmental Protection Agency, NOAA, the U.S. Forest Service, the National Park Service, as well as almost all of the major environmental organizations from around the world, including the Sierra Club, Nature Conservancy, NRDC, and many of the others here in the United States, as well as the United Nations Development Program, UNESCO, and so forth. And they get behind closed doors and develop their no media, no outside people can attend these meetings. And they develop what they call an eco-spiritual agenda, because it's based in the roots of pantheism, the religious belief of pantheism, or the belief that nature is God, and that we must force everyone to obey Mother Nature. That's the summation of this. And one of the things that they wanted to do to accomplish this is impose a set of very, very harsh regulations on the world through the Convention or the Treaty on Biological Diversity. That came out in 1992. And once they had that out, President Bush signed it, or I'm sorry, President Bush refused to sign it because it was only an 18-page treaty. It really didn't say what it was going to do. President Clinton signed it and sent it to the U.S. Senate for ratification in 1993. And in that process, we had a contract basically from the United Nations to the IUCN and another international organization called the Real World Resources Institute to write this document, supporting document, called the United Nations Global Biodiversity Assessment. This was to provide all the background information necessary to complete the treaty once the various nations, including the United States, had ratified it. And that was to be out in March of 1994 in its draft form. And I had told there's a number of us that went down to the Senate in July of 1994 to tell the Senate that this was a very dangerous treaty. It was only 18 pages long, but that it said nothing. It was apple pie and motherhood and apple pie type of language. But behind it, there was this effort to create what's known as the Wildlands Project. And many of you in the listening audience now know what the Wildlands Project is. At the time, no one except for me knew it, because I had been watching it. I have a PhD in ecosystems analysis and watched how it had come out. And the same people that wrote the Wildlands Project wrote the Convention on Biological Diversity, so it wasn't a real wild leap to make the connection that the two were related. The Senate did not believe me, but I did meet these other people, and we tried to get this document, this Global Biodiversity Assessment, out of the United Nations in 1994 in early August, actually late July and early August. We failed. The United Nations said that it did not exist. The first effort, and I'll explain it more tomorrow night, but the first effort on ratification was to occur on August 9th. We sent out a fax alert on August 4th. And literally brought the Senate phone system crashing down and stayed crashed for 3 days. So many people were calling in opposition to this treaty that the phone system just would no longer work. It just crashed. It kept crashing. Every time they'd bring it up, it would crash again. And Senator Mitchell, who was the majority leader of the Senate at the time, it was not lost on him, and he decided. We had told him to get a copy of this draft Global Biodiversity Assessment. We were with him in July. And so he tried to get that draft a copy out of the United Nations. The United Nations basically told him that they did not have that document. They had no intention of having that document. And therefore, whoever we were lying through our teeth. Well, they did have the document. They were lying to George Mitchell, who was the majority leader, Senator Mitchell. And even though I am opposed to his politics and so forth, he is a scrupulously honest individual, and he hates to be lied to. He will come down hard on anyone who lies to him. And as a consequence, he rescheduled it for September 29th. And we were able to take this and call somebody in New York, who called somebody in Germany, who called somebody in... London, called somebody in Germany, who called someone in Switzerland, which is the headquarters of the IUCN, the organization that wrote it in the first place. And at that point, they didn't know who we were, and they FedExed the document to us overnight. And as a consequence, we got it, read it. It was horrifying. I will give you some of what it says tomorrow night at the meeting. You will be dumbfounded at some of the implications of what they said. And we were able to send that down to the Senate along with a map showing what this would look like that I've been working on for a couple of years, and literally stopped the ratification process dead in its tracks an hour before the treaty was to be ratified.
The suspense. I mean, you think about, when we come back, I want you to tell us where we would not even be now, but where we would have been had that gone through. I mean, that's the part we don't always understand, is if that had gone through. When we come back from our break here, I want you to tell us where we would be now, and what we would be looking at versus what we have waiting for us if we don't get moving at this point. We are at an interesting point in history here, for sure. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're at KCNR 1460. If you want to give us a call, the number is 605-4567. To stream live or chat, go to readingteaparty.com and click on Radio Show. We are back with Dr. Michael Kaufman, author of Rescuing a Broken America. And Dr. Kaufman, I want to let you know that there is hope. I am on the World Pantheism Network here online, and they have 350 fewer members than the Reading Tea Party does, so all is not lost. Right now, if we're going to keep score, we're ahead.
That's great.
So talk to us about what this biodiversity treaty would have done had you know, had you guys not swooped in at the 11th hour and stopped it.
Yeah, what would our world look like today, or our reality?
Well, it's already happening in other parts of the world. They're creating huge wilderness reserves, carving them out, moving people out of those areas, closing down even small communities. They don't try to do it on large communities. But smaller communities with a few thousand people in them, they'll shut down the community, tear down the buildings, uproot the roads, and turn it into wilderness. That's happening all around the world with those nations now that have actually accepted and written and ratified the treaty. What would have happened here in the United States is that we would have seen hundreds and millions of acres of more wilderness being created. We would see areas in the Midwest that have no federal land, not very much state land, huge areas being condemned in order to create wildland reserves and then start to interconnect them with what wilderness corridors, usually along rivers or mountain ridges and so forth, so that we would have a network of wilderness areas in the country over about a 50-year period. It's not something they would do overnight. Over a 50-year period, have huge wilderness areas all through the United States that are interconnected with wilderness corridors so that the wolves and the bears and so forth, grizzlies, can move freely from South America to the tip of North America up into Alaska, unhindered by human beings whatsoever. It is an astonishing effort on their part. But yet, if you understand that at least the leadership of this, not certainly all the people who call themselves environmentalists, but the leadership are basically pantheists. They believe that nature knows best, that we need to reconstruct natural habitats so that they can be natural systems from the tip of South America to the tip of North America so that animals can roam around freely without any hindrance whatsoever of human roads or anything else. Millions of miles of roads would be uprooted. It is a mind-boggling effort on their part, but they're willing to do this slowly. And even though we stopped the treaty from being ratified, the environmental community is systematically attempting to do it piecemeal at this particular point in time. And in any one particular part of the country, you will find efforts that of setting aside areas, creating corridors along streams and other things, greenways, you got a whole host of names that they're going under, but they're all part of a long-term plan to create one half of the United States in the wilderness areas for the benefit of nature. It's astonishing what they're doing. They are making progress. Right now, as you are aware of, they're trying to do the Siskiyou landmark, natural landmark.
Yeah, Siskiyou Crest National Monument. Yeah.
Monument, yes. I'm sorry. National Monument. Which is another step in this direction, because once that happens, then you can't graze that land, you can't use it, you can't mine it, you can't export for oil, you can't do anything. And as a consequence, it's being done very piecemeal. And what I'm very concerned about at this point is that just before Christmas this past year, the Bureau of Land Management announced that they're going to review 200 million acres of land that they control for the purpose of setting aside wild lands. Now, that's two words, not one word, as the Wildlands Project is. But it accomplishes the same thing. And one of the things that you'll notice when they do these things, when they put these things in place, is they are all not only sometimes, you know, beautiful areas, that sort of thing, but they're over the top of mineral resources. And in the state of Wyoming and northern Utah, northwest, eastern Utah, and northern Colorado, there's the biggest oil and natural gas deposit anywhere in the world by orders of magnitude. There's enough oil and natural gas in those shale oil deposits to basically supply the United States with all the oil we need, all the natural gas we need for another 500 years, about 200 years under current today's in market prices. So it is astonishing what is going on as I'm calling it the progressive agenda. The progressives are the ones that are behind this. These are the Hillary Clintons that have admitted to being a progressive, President Obama, Pelosi, and all the Democrats in the House. In fact, many of the Republicans are too. John McCain is a progressive. And many of the, George Bush was a progressive. Both George Bushes were progressives. So it's not a matter of political affiliation. It's a matter of how you view the world. The idea that the government must be sovereign over everyone so the government can do supposedly the right thing. Of course, what happens is that once you have that power, corruption sets in, and before long you have tyranny.
Now, Dr. Kaufman, you know, there's a lot of people out there that live in little neighborhoods. They don't own any property other than maybe the house that they live in. And when we talk about this movement to turn this massive amount of land into a rewild area, a lot of them can write that off as something that doesn't really impact them. But it's going to affect the ability to grow food. It's going to affect the ability to get our natural resources out to the folks. Can you, in very simple layman's terms, address what life would be like for someone that doesn't think any of this is going to impact them? And we do go to a break in 1 minute, but maybe we can touch on that when we get back.
Yes, I think maybe I can even do it in 1 minute.
Okay.
What it would look like, if you come tomorrow night, and I encourage you to do so, what you're going to find, I'll show you a map of what this would look like. It's stunning. It is absolutely stunning because it divides the country up into primarily wilderness with little human occupation zones in which are pretty isolated from each other. If you have highways ripped out and so forth, you're going to be isolated from other communities. It's going to be much more difficult to bring transportation, bring your vegetables and foods and so forth in than it used to be. It's literally going to increase the cost of living double or triple what it is right now because of the inefficiencies being brought into our economy in this process. It is literally astonishing, and we're already starting to see it even today as prices of food and oil and gas and so forth start to skyrocket.
Yeah, we can't be efficient for animals and rewilding the country and humans simultaneously. Those don't fit. We will be right back with Dr. Michael Kaufman here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're at KCNR 1460. If you want to give us a call, the number is 605-4567. And if you would like to chat with us or want to listen to us streaming live on the internet, go to readingteaparty.com and click on radio show. And you'll also find all the archives from our past shows, as well as a lot of really good information about our sponsors.
Absolutely. And we're back with Dr. Michael Kaufman. I'm looking at our chat window, and the last comment that's registering in there is, this is a scary program. And we were just talking about how, some of this stuff is scary, but actually it's only scarier if you don't know about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. One of the things that failed to mention or before the break is that if you set aside one half of the United States in the wilderness areas, that's one half of our agricultural land as well. And as a consequence, there's not as much food that we could raise. In fact, the whole Convention on Biological Diversity would have given the legal grounds to not use pesticides of any sort, not use genetically improved seed crops, and all the rest that have resulted in the Green Revolution of the 1960s and 70s. And the document actually states, and I'll show it to you, actually states that they would reduce the human food production by half. And what that means is we would have massive starvation, and they also said that. They want to reduce the Earth's human population to 1 to 2 billion people. And if you look at this map, you'll see why, because there isn't room for the people that we have right now. We would have to dramatically reduce the human population, both in the production of food as well as just living places, living space, if this were to go into full force. It is so astonishing that it's hard to believe that human beings would actually develop these kinds of things, but it's their religion that blinds them. They have to protect nature at all costs. Basically, the human beings are nothing but viruses attacking planet Earth. That's the way they put it in their more covert documents and so forth, and they have to eliminate the human population in order to save planet Earth.
Of course, they would not be eliminating any of the progressive human population.
No. No, and you know, it's amazing because I have talked to some of them earlier in my career before they knew who I were, and they basically have told me that they need to be still around to make sure the job of human population reduction is done right.
Whoa. Well, that's awesome.
I mean, they're quite a few cards short of a full deck. It doesn't mean they're not intelligent. They're extremely intelligent. But what it means is they have no practical common sense. And as a result of this, they're easily deluded by their belief systems.
Well,
now, when I say this, as far as the depopulation and so forth, most environmentalists do not have that same belief. Understand that. This is the elite of the organizations and so forth that are driving us in this direction. It's not the average environmentalist.
Well, and if you look at the African continent, that's one of the most richest continents in natural resources. And
yes.
And the majority of that that continent is withheld from the people. You know, they're living in villages, and they're, you know, I've got a niece that's in the Peace Corps right now in Ethiopia, and she sends pictures back of the compound that she's living in as a Peace Corps volunteer, and she shares a dirt floor and a hole in the ground with everybody else in the compound, and that's their bathroom. And the village that they live in abuts right up to an absolutely incredible natural forest.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't touch the reserves. And the people are starving.
No, in fact, that is very, very common throughout Africa. I've been to Africa, and, you know, these reserves are nice, but they're set up for ecotourism. People like me, when I visit, we can go out in a Jeep or something of that nature, view one nature's wonders, and then go home, go back to our hotel and so forth. And if you're living there like the Peace Corps does, you're living with the villagers themselves. Ironically, one of the things that amazed me, just to show you how important private property rights are, in fact, I'll explain to you tomorrow why private property rights are fundamental. It's a fundamental building block for liberty and wealth creation. And I'll explain that tomorrow. But when I was in South Africa in 2002, what I found was that some of the villages that were basically just cardboard huts 10 years before that, or 20, let's say 15 years before that, were now made out of corrugated iron, some of them even adobe. And what made the difference was that when Nelson Mandela, even though I do not agree with most of his politics, came into power, he basically was able to give private property rights for the very first time to the blacks in South Africa. And as a consequence, what happened was that these blacks got to be so proud of the land that they now owned that they basically were able to improve their economic position and build something that was far more permanent. Even though it was corrugated iron, it would seem like a shack to us. To them, it was a major, major improvement. And some of them even were able to put in sidewalks and so forth. And when they did, you could literally eat off of those sidewalks. They were so clean. They were so proud of the fact that they are finally, after hundreds of years, able to own their own land.
There's a lot to be said for that. They've done just study after study after study. And we saw that in the 60s when they started building projects in our inner cities, you know, the giant tenement buildings. And I grew up in Hartford, Connecticut, in a suburb of Hartford. And that was during the busing era in the 1960s, early 70s. And they would bring these kids in from the inner city who lived in these tenements and in the projects. And they would come to our house after school, some of them, to do, you know, projects for school and whatnot, science fair. And we had a yard. You know, we could go out back and play basketball in our yard. And that was just a marvel to them. They were growing up in a completely different world, just 2 miles from our house.
It is amazing. It is amazing. And it's even more amazing that most of those tenement houses back in were built in the 70s and so forth to provide them housing are now being torn down because they became literally focal points for just trash and drugs and you name it.
Massive amounts of crime.
There was no pride of ownership in those.
Exactly. We had huge, huge crime, all sorts of problems. And now the Agenda 21 crowd wants to build us some rabbit hutches over a metro station and move us all off our rural land. I mean, that's name of the game. In about five minutes, we'll be back with you for the second hour with Dr. Michael Kaufman. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Okay, you're listening to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We are entering our second hour, as always, from 8 to 10 every Sunday morning. We are sponsored by Alltemp Tactical Lube, North State Tax Consultants, and Miller Auto Transport. If you want to give us a call, the number is 605-4567. Try not to wait too late. And if you want to chat with us, or you want to stream live, or check out our media page, go to readingteaparty.com and click on Radio Show.
I would definitely click on Radio Show, especially in about another 2 hours, at least after 12 o'clock today, because this program will be archived on there without the commercials. So it'll just be Dr. Kaufman, and you'll be able to email that page to people with the sound file so that they can listen, which will be fantastic. Tomorrow night, he will be at the Reading Tea Party, 6 o'clock at 2570 South Bonneville at Bonneville Baptist Church. His slide presentation is, as PowerPoint, is unbelievable. It's the best PowerPoint I've seen in a very long time. And highlights all this stuff, puts all the things that you want to, quote-unquote, proof of. It's right there in front of your face. So I would encourage you to do that. And that program will also be archived on our media page. So all these things you can send to friends. But live is always best, so be there.
And don't forget about the book, Rescuing a Broken America, Why America is Divided and How to Heal It Constitutionally. And again, we've all got copies, and it's a quick read. It's power-packed. You literally can't put it down until you get to the last page.
And Dr. Kaufman, I know that you have a DVD by the same name, and I have it, but I haven't had a chance to watch it. We've got about 3 minutes until we have to take a quick break, and in that time, I'd really like to promote. You have a website, sovereignty.net, and also epi-us.com, and we've got the DVD. Give folks a little promotion about that. What are those things going to do for them?
Well, you can find more information on both the book and the DVD by going to rescuingamericabook.com. Or just type into Google, Rescuing a Broken America. It'll come up with a website. What that DVD does is, it was a 2.5-hour presentation that I made in Spokane, Washington, earlier this fall. And it basically goes over the same thing that I'll be going over tonight, except in far greater depth. Or tomorrow, I mean, in far greater depth. So it'll be the same presentation. There will be a few things that I've updated since that was made, but very little, and it will be far more complete than what I'll be able to give tomorrow night.
Oh, fantastic. And I know you have that with a teacher edition as well. I saw that one of the DVDs had some teacher materials.
That was our Global Warming or Emerging Science DVD. I have a PhD also with a minor in climatology and have been conducting a multi-million dollar research effort back in the 1990s on global warming. And so I'm up on that particular subject. I've been very active in trying to fight the cap and trade legislation in recent years because the whole global warming issue is bogus. It's not man-caused. There is not one bit. It's zero. Zero science to support the idea that man is causing global warming. The fact that they're able to convince you or many of your people or your friends and so forth that man is causing global warming is just astonishing. It's a propaganda piece because there is no evidence that man is causing global warming, none whatsoever. And yet they're trying to convince you that they are to pass cap and trade, which would give the government then control over the United States economy. So it's just another in the series of Agenda 21 efforts to create global governance, and it's based on nothing but hot air. It's literally, no pun intended, hot air.
We're going to come right back, and when we do, we're going to jump right into Agenda 21. So for all you people who said, Agenda what? Get on your computer right now and Google it. You've got a couple of minutes.
We'll be right back with you. We're on KCNR, 1460 AM, Chester Running, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Boy, I'm saying that a lot lately. We have so many breaks that we have to take now that I used to only get to say that a couple of times in 2 hours. Now it just rolls off my tongue because I'm getting so much practice.
Absolutely. And we want to thank our advertisers, all of them.
We love them.
During the hour, we're just having a little hard time with the schedule.
And if you want to give us a call, the number is 605-4567.
Absolutely. So jump on ReadingTeaParty.com, click on Radio Show. You can get all the skinny on what's going on with Dr. Kaufman and the I do different materials that are available.
And folks, I know we keep saying it, but everything that we do, we've got available to you. Whether it's the Reading Tea Party, the meetings that we have on Monday nights with all of our great speakers, whether it's this radio show, we work very hard with the help of Robert, our incredible volunteer, to get all of this stuff available to you that you can access, archival, pass on to other people, but it's not a one-time thing. So definitely check out readingteaparty.com and click on Radio Show for everything.
Absolutely. And as you're out there reading different books and learning about different things, you need to be thinking, hey, is this something we the people needs to get out to everybody else? That's how we come up with all this great stuff. You guys tell us about it. So let's get back to Dr. Kaufman here. And you can go wherever you like, but we want to make sure that we hit the connect those dots back to Agenda 21, and actually you connect them previous to that 1992 thing.
Right. Well, actually, let me go back to the global warming issue just once more. That is a big issue within Agenda 21, so we're not straying out of
absolutely. Let's do that.
But I heard you guys talking in the background. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me during the break. And what I want to emphasize is that we did have global warming from early 1980 through 2000. It was part of a natural cycle. On my DVDs, basically, I have scientists from around the world. I have about 24 different scientists from around the world telling people exactly what caused the warming and how it's going to continue and so forth, slip back into another cooling period. And that's exactly what's happening this year, is that we're going back into another cooling period. Since the year 2000, we've had neither warming nor cooling. We had a very warm 2010, primarily because of an El Nino off the coast of northern South America in the Pacific Ocean. Then when that happens, we have a warming trend, and this is no exception. We had a very warm period in 2010, but now we're in a La Nina situation, and let me tell you, the temperatures are worldwide are plummeting now, literally plummeting. Just the bottom's falling out of the temperature record, and that's going to continue for quite some time. In fact, over the next 20 to 30 years, it's anticipated that we'll have global cooling, much like we had between 1945 and 1975. And there will be claims of the next ice age. And so some of the same scientists that claimed ice age in the 1960s, now global warming, will go back to ice age and it's all due to carbon dioxide, of course. Everything is due to the fact that we're having global warming, even if it's been global cooling. These people are absolutely insane.
And tell us what you really think.
what do you really think is behind this?
Right. It's just bizarre. It is so bizarre, and it's all because of a political agenda that has nothing to do with true environmental issues. And that's so much true with so many things that are proclaimed. The biodiversity issue that we stopped in the U.S. Senate. Biodiversity is important. I'm an expert in that particular area. That's what I have my PhD in. But it's not the end of the world. The Earth is very resilient, and as a consequence, it will heal very rapidly when something is done wrong. That doesn't give us an excuse to deliberately do something wrong. But at the same time, it's not the end of the world like they're trying to tell you it is. Only a pantheist would look at it from the standpoint it's the end of the world. And that's, of course, what they're doing. If you look at it from a true scientific perspective, it is something that we do not want to do necessarily, but it's not the end of the world type of thing. The Earth is very resilient and can come back, actually quite quickly. They told us that it would be 100 years for Lake Ontario, one of the Great Lakes, to recover from the damage done to it, because it was heavily polluted and so forth. It took 6 years for it to come back. And it's still improving, and gradually will continue to improve over the next 20 years, but it was not anything like 100 years. So they will exaggerate, they will overemphasize what could happen, and sometimes they just pick it out of thin air, like global warming. There is no empirical scientific evidence that man is causing global warming. Zero. And we are now slipping back into a period of global cooling, and you won't see anything in the newspapers about that until we have another warm year like we had in 2010, and then it would come out almost every day proclaiming that global warming is destroying the Earth and so forth. Get used to this idea that you cannot trust the media for getting the true story. The mainstream media is so biased that we, and I think most people have seen it already in the 2008 elections and 2010 elections, that people realize that they can't trust the news media for giving them the right information. And let's face it, folks, if all you have is biased information, there is no way you can make good decisions. There's just no way you can make good decisions because you don't have all the information necessary to make a good decision.
Yeah, and for those people that would really like to read a true but humorous book on that particular topic, Bernard Goldberg wrote a hilarious, I guess in one phase of it, it's kind of scary, but it's called A Slobbering Love Affair. The true but torrid romance between Barack Obama and the mainstream media. And that book details, absolutely in your type of fashion, tons of proof, excerpts of articles, dates, times, places of all the media coverage through that election cycle. And so for anybody who doesn't think the media is biased, that would be a great place to start. Interestingly enough, his conclusion dovetails in with what we're talking about today. He said that since people realized in that election that the media was completely in the tank for Obama and he could do nothing wrong, the really scary part of that is that now people know not to trust the media. So if the media was to expose somebody that was really bad, like a Republican candidate for president who was a hardcore progressive that people didn't really realize, theoretically, that person could rise to power, and the media screaming that he's a progressive would be discounted because they've already discredited themselves.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, didn't really see that coming. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent book. We're going to take a little break here, come back with Dr. Michael Kaufman, and talk to you some more about what's going on in the world. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People. You are in our second hour of this radio show sponsored by the Redding Tea Party. Let's see if you want to give us a call, 605-4567. If you want to stream live or chat with us, go to reddingteaparty.com and click on radio show. And we are talking to Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has come out from Maine and pretty much covered the North State, sharing his information, spreading the word, kind of connecting the dots between rewilding and Agenda 21 and sustainable living, and it's all connected.
And the progressive big government top-down agenda, that's the biggie. And hey, Dr. Kaufman, you're living in the most conservative end of California, obviously. But interestingly enough, one of our people on the chat has written in yesterday's paper, it highlighted Turtle Bay's exhibit called Sustainable Choices. Living sustainably covers the concept of electricity and water use, choices made when shopping, landscaping, and getting back and forth from work and school. Ugh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
One of the things that people do not understand what the word sustainable means. I'm going to go into great depth on it tomorrow night because it's important that you realize what the root of sustainable development is. Now, again, just like climate change and global warming, the people who are out there in the front lines as environmentalists, whatever the case might be, do not understand fully what they mean by sustainable. Like anything else, progressives are famous for incrementalism. They will move and nudge you along until they get to where they finally want to go. And they finally want to go basically to a a form of government in which pantheism dominates every decision. The idea that Mother Earth has to be protected dominates every single any decision that is made. If you want to build a house or go on a vacation, whatever the case is, it has to be limited by what they believe would protect Mother Earth, which leaves very little human activity available. I'll explain that, provide the actual documents that where they say this kind of thing, and I think you'll begin to see where we're heading, the end game, even though we're doing it incrementally and not actually there yet.
Yeah, the end game. We keep reminding people. We just had an article again a couple of days ago in the paper. Some of our rural areas, three of our rural communities, are looking at high-density housing. I'm like, hello, why don't they just write rabbit hutches? Because that's really that's the lifestyle they want us to have. We're not allowed to eat meat because that's not sustainable, so we will be eating vegetables in tiny compartments.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, their own documentation basically says that they want to put as many as 900 families per square mile in. I mean, that's more dense than Calcutta in India.
900 people in a mile?
I'm sorry, 9,000.
I mean,
9,000 people. 900 families, 9,000 people?
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's been a while since I've looked at it, but this is where they're wanting to go.
Now, this is what we need to hear.
Over the top of where they work so that they do not have to use their automobiles, and all they need is their bicycles and so forth, making automobiles obsolete. It sounds nuts, but this is where they're going. This is what they actually drool over, is creating this utopian society where we have between a 600 and a 900 square foot apartment for two kids, or 1.3 kids. I don't know how you do that, but nonetheless, that's what their target is. And live over these with a very small apartment, no air conditioning, very, very frugal type of living, and you will just go downstairs to your job type of thing, or across the street as the case might be.
And, of course, by then you will be working for the government.
Generally speaking, yes. And it's amazing because if you tie that within the idea of having one half of the United States in wilderness and another quarter of that in buffer zones in which you cannot live and have to manage very, very lightly, sustainably, that is. That only leaves about 15 or 20% of the land area of the current United States available for human occupation. That means everybody has to cram together in these high-rise apartments and so forth, and then work in these little tiny little enclaves. And they absolutely go bananas over this idea.
But
they
see, they're already built.
Ice cream.
Yeah, they're already
Pardon?
Built. When I was down at my mom's house in Walnut Creek, those are already built. They're BART station, the Bay Area Rapid Transit train that goes all around the East Bay and takes you into the city. And, you know, it's great because they're all connected by bridges. So actually, you know, I mean, the train is good and it helps a lot in your commute. But now they've taken that ground right by the train station, built
right.
apartments above it. Right there at the train. I mean, apartments right above it and shops on the bottom. And as I read all this stuff about, you know, sustainable living, it's like, there it is, and just enough room to park your rickshaw out front that doesn't require any fossil fuels, I guess.
Right. What they're actually finding, both in Oregon and Portland, Oregon, and the San Francisco Bay Area through Sacramento, all Central California, is moving in this direction. And what they're finding is it doesn't work. Of course, we could have told them that to start with, but it doesn't work because people still need their automobiles. And now that you have them all bunched up into one little location, it's increased congestion, it's increased pollution, it's increased all of these things, wasted fuel because you're in stoplights all the time and stop-and-go traffic. It has actually backfired horribly on them. And yet they'll still proclaim it's the best thing since ice cream.
It's downright spooky when you get into Walnut Creek. It's one of those that's adopted the ICLEI Charter, the
yes.
International
Council on
Local Environmental Initiatives.
That's correct, yeah.
And principle number 7 in their ICLEI Charter, adopt patterns of production, consumption, and reproduction that safeguard Earth's regenerative capacities, human rights, and community well-being. It's like reproduction? That's in a charter that the town adopted? It's like, what the heck?
I'd like to know how many of these progressives are walking the talk.
They're not. It's very ironic that these progressives are not doing what they're telling everybody else to do. They live in these big, sprawling 10 to 20,000 square foot mansions and drive big luxury automobiles, have their own private plane, you name it. And they really, really believe. What we're seeing here is the recreation of the old feudal system where you had everything owned by the lords, the royalty and so forth, and then everybody else were peasants. We're literally seeing that happen again as these people live luxuriously and then force us to live in poverty. We have lost jobs. We've sent most of our job, middle-class jobs overseas. I mean, you can see this happening, and it's being done deliberately. And I can't, and for people like whoever the reporter was that reported that I was a conspiratist and so forth when I gave the talk.
We'll bring you that article tomorrow.
It's literally absurd because we have the documentation. If you go to Europe or something, they talk about this freely on the street corner. It's only in the United States that you're conspiratist if you talk about global governance, because they do not want the American people to know that, because the American people are still independent enough, and I think the Tea Parties are showing this, independent enough where they'll get a backlash and they'll be put out, these money masters will be put out of business.
Yeah, we're not looking to jump into this program. We will be back with you in just a second. We're gonna do a little theme music here with Aretha Franklin in the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. We're gonna have to get a little of that back for America. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to the second hour of We the People, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party. The number to call is 605-4567 to stream live or chat. Go to readingteaparty.com and click on radio show. And we are again speaking with Dr. Michael Kaufman. He's telling us all things Agenda 21, sustainable, blah, blah, blah. Hey, and I just wanted to plug the book again, Rescuing a Broken America, Why America is Deeply Divided. And it's such an incredible book. I can't believe how many pages of endnotes and indexes and references you have in this book. Clearly, you are backing up what you say.
Anybody calls that a conspiracy theory is just unable to flip to the back of the book, apparently. And just to translate for my friend Elizabeth here, blah, blah, blah means progressive, big government,
yeah,
heinousness,
yeah,
and endgame rabbit hutches.
Big spin on words. Big spin. Positive is really negative.
It's very interesting. They call it a conspiracy, but yet if you go on the internet and Google Agenda 21, which you can do right now if you have a computer in front of you, you'll come up with about 17 million different sites discussing Agenda 21. And it's supposed to be this secret conspiracy and so forth. It's only a conspiracy here in this country because it's not being explained to the American people by the mainstream media. They're keeping it completely under wraps, and therefore calling everyone else a conspiratist. Everybody else in the world knows all about it, not us.
Oh, here you go. Here's the actual reference. I did use Google, and I typed in Agenda 21, and I get 48,700,000 results.
Yes.
So apparently,
it's astounding.
Apparently there's a little bit you could read about. But, you know, the biggest problem and the one thing I've always encouraged people is not to lead with Agenda 21, because when people hear that it's the UN, then they go, oh, whatever, you know, and they discount it. They don't think that it can come here because it would have to be ratified by Congress. Therefore, they couldn't possibly be doing it. But they've obviously worked around it. Yeah.
Right. I'll explain tomorrow night exactly how they're getting it into this country. Did not go through Congress, and yet it's affecting you very, very seriously. All this international agenda from Agenda 21 is coming right down in your backyard through a very, very, I think, illegal way. But nonetheless, it's being done, and most people are suffering from it because of it.
Well, it's being done by
ICLEI and,
it's being done by bureaucracies that don't have the answer to Congress.
Right. And I'll explain how it's being done. It'll amaze you. We were talking about ICLEI. I'm not going to talk about ICLEI tomorrow night because smart growth is not a major issue here in the North Country. I did talk about it a lot when I was down in Central California a couple months ago talking about the book, but not up here. But ICLEI is a major, major planning organization. It works closely with the United Nations and then comes to our country and denies it has any link to the United Nations at all. And if you go to their webpage and look up under international issues, you'll find that they are directly linked to the United Nations, and their whole purpose is to implement Agenda 21. And yet they'll tell you to your face they have nothing to do with the United Nations. I cannot believe how these people will lie to different people just to get them convinced that they're an innocuous group and so forth, that it doesn't mean, you know, that really all they have is the community's best interest at heart.
But see, Dr. And Kaufman, here in Northern California, we have the Shasta County Regional Transportation Planning Authority, and if you go to their website, they've applied for a $400,000 grant from the Sustainable Growth Council. So then you go to the Sustainable Growth Council, do a little clicking, goes right back to ICLEI, do a little clicking, goes right to Agenda 21. So we're as deep into it as every other place.
Yeah, very interesting. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't have to infer or match language. You know, a lot of times you read something and you go, oh, that sounds just like such and such. Uh-uh.
Right.
You go to their websites and without ever leaving, you know, it's like without ever lifting your pen off the paper, you can literally click from one site to the next and walk your way all the way back to Agenda 21.
That's usually what can happen. In almost every case, just by a series of clicks, you can actually do that based on a program that they're implementing locally right back to Agenda 21. It's not a hard thing to do.
Yeah, so.
And that's what people understand, is it has to be in their own backyard before they wake up and realize that it's not something bigger than they are. It has nothing to do, it's not exclusive to the United Nations or exclusive to other countries. It is in their backyard.
That's very true, and it usually catches people totally off guard. They're very upset about what's happening locally and think they're the only ones that are suffering from this, and yet this is happening all across the country in a very, very big way.
And a coordinated way.
Mm-hmm. A coordinated way is right.
Tell us when we're going to take a break in another minute or two, but when we come back from that, let's target that chunk of time and maybe you can explain to folks what you see across the country, not just here because we have so many resource problems here, but across the country, where do you think people are with this idea and how best to get the word out to people? We've talked a lot about the problem and not, you know, we haven't even begun to approach the solution except for awareness. But how would you recommend that people open that door for friends, family, and others?
Yeah, you know, for the last minute before the break, and we can pick it up again afterwards, it's a very interesting question, one that I haven't totally been able to address effectively. Trying to break into the local area and their own issues is extremely difficult because, first of all, they think that they're the only ones that are suffering from it, so why bring in somebody from outside to tell them otherwise? They need to understand that this is happening nationwide. It's a huge agenda, and it needs to be stopped. And the only way of stopping it is to elect very intelligent and constitutionally oriented candidates into the state legislatures, local committees, county supervisors, or councils, whatever the case might be, so that we have people that understand why the Constitution was written the way it was and how these people are trying to destroy it. So that they can begin to start taking back a lot of these laws that I believe are totally unconstitutional, but have been allowed to be constitutional because of activist judges in the past. We need to basically rescind some of these activist judges, especially on the Supreme Court, so that they get the message real fast that unless you actually interpret the Constitution as it was written, not as you want it to be, they're going to be disbarred. Until we start doing that, and it can happen, and it can happen very quickly, and we can start talking about that a little bit more after this next break.
Very cool. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Down on the corner, out in
You're listening to the remaining 15 minutes of the second hour of We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're at KCNR 1460. The number to call, and you better make it quick, 605-4567 to stream live, to chat, to explore the archives from all of our shows, or for all information, good and conservative and constitutionally grounded.
Hey, let's just call it. We're going to call it normal.
Normal. ReadingTeaParty.com. Click on radio show, and we're with Dr. Michael Kaufman, who is connecting the dots between all of the pseudo-positive terms such as sustainable development, smart growth. They sound good, but in reality, folks,
they're spinning them so
that you'll believe them.
Our local giant foundation is having, what did they call it? Sustainable, it's so depressing. Sustainable choices. I think I'm going to choose no. That's my choice. I'm gonna make it a yes or no question. I'm just gonna say no. So fire some more information at us, Dr. Kaufman. What do you think people ought to be doing?
It's a very good question, and we'll talk some more about it tomorrow night. By the way, I just want to put in that most of our products, if you want to buy the book or one of the DVDs that we have, we're selling them for $25% less than what you can get them on the internet. So. That's a good reason to come. Plus, as you said, the PowerPoint presentation that I have is very dynamic and really adds tremendously to what we're talking about these last 2 hours. I would strongly encourage the people to come and learn more, because it'll be put together a lot more structured tomorrow than it has been in the last hour and three quarters. Right now, we have the opportunity of actually changing this country back to a constitutional republic. I am so pleased about what the Tea Parties have done across this country. They basically turned over the whole establishment, Republican Democratic establishment, by putting into office some very conservative individuals. Now, that's not enough. We need more people. Most of these people that we just elected really still do not understand constitutional principles. They're conservative just by their nature, which is good, but they can be talked into doing some pretty dumb things because they do not have the principle of why we have to have a constitutional republic. And maybe they'll become educated, maybe they won't, but we need to educate as many people as we possibly can over the next year and a half through meetings like what you're going to be having tomorrow night, as well as talking one-on-one with your friends, your colleagues, your co-workers, all of these people that you come into contact with. Help them to understand why we are destroying this country. We're driving it right into the ground with a $14 trillion deficit, Obamacare that literally is going to control every aspect of your life. Every time I turn around, I'm finding out something new about Obamacare that's going to cause severe restrictions on what I'm allowed to do, and it'll cause severe restrictions on what you're allowed to do as well. All of these things, we have to be able to relate to our friends and neighbors, colleagues, coworkers, and so forth. If we educate enough people before the 2012 election, we will be able to really affect and put in some good people, both at the state legislatures as well as the congressional level. And hopefully at the local level, the county and city council and so forth level as well. What happens in California, I'm not sure what's going to happen in California. I cannot believe that they basically reelected the same people that are driving the state of California into bankruptcy back into office this past year. I just do not understand the mentality of Californians any longer. I'm a native Californian.
Well, Dr. Kaufman, you do know the difference between the November 2010 elections and the Titanic, don't you?
No, I haven't heard that.
On the Titanic, they didn't actually vote to hit the iceberg.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's a good visual.
It is a very good visual, and that's exactly what they did in that election.
Yeah.
If you want to drive your ship right into the iceberg or right into the ground, whatever you want to call it, you put into office people that will do that for you. I just don't understand how people could do such a thing as what they did in 2010, but you are stuck with it now,
yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen in California, but it's not going to be pleasant.
Yeah, California is heading for a major disaster.
Well, and in the meantime, you know, we need more bike paths.
And we're getting plenty of those locally because they are preparing for sustainable living, you know.
Yeah, it's just a major disconnect. So, you know, back in the during the Biological Diversity Treaty and all those kinds of things, it's got to be, it must have been just like now, where there are a lot of people who are good people who don't really believe these things, but who don't know, they just don't know the drill. They just don't know what's going on. And I ask our elected people all the time. I actually am kind of going a little bit evangelical. You know, I run up to them and I'm like, you know, do you know what these words mean? You know, sustainable, smart growth, Agenda 21, are these familiar terms? And when they say no, I'm like, you know what? One of two things. People are going to think one of two things. You're in on it or you're a dope.
And neither one's
exactly
a good alternative.
Right. There are very intelligent people that probably wouldn't support this agenda if they fully understood it, but they've been told by the mainstream media that this is a conspiracy, this isn't really happening, and so forth, and they believe the lie, which is just as dangerous as actively trying to precipitate that agenda.
And if they don't know what they're looking at, it's hard to identify.
And thank goodness
thank
goodness for people like you and actually people like us. Those folks that are taking the time to get educated and figure out everything that's going on, and we find every way possible to spread the word to everybody that we know.
We've got
right. And that's the power, the incredible power of the Tea Party movement. It really has the ability to get the information out that we have never seen for probably 200 years. And they're doing it.
Yep.
The last election has shown very clearly how much power the Tea Party movement has. And unfortunately, a lot of the people that were put into office claiming to be Tea Party people really still don't understand that they may have the right intentions, but they don't understand really what's going on.
No
kidding. Until you become educated, you're going to be fighting phantom battles and not trying to go for the jugular.
Well, Nate's playing around with some musical alternatives, and he's playing a song for the 8 million people that won't make the cut under the new program to get us down to 8 billion, I'm sorry, to get us down to the 1 million. He's giving us a little Stayin' Alive music there to go out on our break with.
That's interesting.
It's spooky early in the morning like this. We're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Apropos. Walk like an Egyptian. Talk like an Egyptian.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Welcome back to the last few remaining moments of We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Well, you know, if you hadn't called by now, it might be a little too late, because we're going to give the floor to Dr. Michael Kaufman, who's going to wrap the next 5 minutes up with some closing thoughts on what we're going to talk about tomorrow night at the Reading Tea Party on South Bonneview Road, Bonneview Baptist Church, and closing thoughts on Agenda 21.
Yeah, so we don't have to walk like an Egyptian.
Yeah. Well,
we'd rather not.
It's a amazing thing what they have been able to do, basically in secrecy, in implementing Agenda 21 in the United States. People that are doing it will adamantly deny that it's Agenda 21, because Agenda 21 is never mentioned. Tomorrow night I'll explain how they got it into the United States and converted it into something that Americans would identify with without linking it back to the United Nations. It's very sneaky, very quiet, and very devastating. We have, as I said several times already on the program, a $14 trillion debt that's going to bury us from a number of standpoints. And it's all done by the progressives, and we need to take action to stop it. If there was ever a time for Americans to stand up and be counted, it's right now. We have probably just a few years. If we have another 2-4 years of Obama, for instance, as president, I don't think we'll be so far down the road, I don't think we'll ever be able to recover. I'm not sure what's going to happen to health care. It could be declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, or the Supreme Court may elect not to consider it, which means basically it's unconstitutional, because the two judges that deemed it unconstitutional have the rights over the two that basically said it was constitutional. they basically said it was constitutional on technical grounds. The other two judges, both in Virginia and Florida, have declared it unconstitutional because of content, and that's what's going to stand. And the Supreme Court may not even take it up. It may let the lower courts stand, the decision stand. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. If it even goes on and is considered, and the Supreme Court does declare it constitutional, the states still have the right to negate it by what's known as nullification. I'll be talking about nullification in depth tomorrow night, where they just refuse to obey the Supreme Court decision. That's been done historically, it's well established, and they have the right to do it because it was the states that created the federal government, not the federal government created the states. And they have the sovereignty, states have sovereignty over the federal government. And then the last thing that I'll be discussing tomorrow night is a process called the coordination process, which can help protect communities. The fellow that really has developed this into an art form is an attorney by the name of Fred Kelly Grant. It's my understanding that he will be in Reading on the 10th or 14th or something of March.
He will be up in Yreka. And we plan on having him on the program right before that. He's been on a couple times before. So for people who want to listen to what Fred Kelly Grant has, would like a little preview of that, if you go to our archives there on the radio show button, you'll see Fred Kelly Grant on there a couple of times. He is awesome.
And between the two of you, I mean, you're both highly educated, fabulous speakers, incredibly well-informed. You have all the facts to back up what you're saying.
Yes.
The two of you are a good
team.
And
I hear that several counties are joining forces, which is really necessary, because if you have to take a lawsuit, you can't do it as a single county, especially poor counties like we have here in Northern California. You've got to have several counties go in together to pool their assets and sue whatever federal agency you want to, that is causing the most problems to the most counties, and really force them to go into coordination, because coordination, literally, where it has been in effect, has stopped all of this garbage dead in its tracks. And the federal government really has no say in what happens in the counties themselves. Well, they have a say. Legally, they do have a say, but they have to use basically the county input, which usually will protect your local citizens, protect the assets and so forth of the county, and not just have the federal government roll right over the top of you, or even the state government. And Fred will be able to explain how that happens. I'll be doing it a little bit tomorrow night, but he is the one that really can make it happen.
Now, Dr. Kaufman, how much of what you are going to cover tomorrow night, including your PowerPoint presentation, are on the DVD?
Yes, they are. The DVD that we're selling is the same thing that I'll be talking about tomorrow night, using that same PowerPoint presentation, except it even goes into greater depth than I'll be able to do tomorrow night.
Excellent.
There's quite a bit more on those DVDs than I'll have time to give tomorrow night.
Well, make sure you hold one back for me.
That's fantastic.
All right.
We've got it all set up. We've got it all planned out, how we're going to make those the most available for folks. But I would encourage people to get there early. We are going to begin at 6. Your announcements will be on a sheet of paper. We're skipping those, too. I think we have to do the drawing for the ladder. But, you know, other than that, we're dispensing with all of our normal
housekeeping details.
No group breakouts or any of that. So you've got the whole program, and then you guys are going to roll to the airport. So we're going to let you go, Dr. Kaufman, so you and Susan can go enjoy the North Coast, and we will see you tomorrow night.
All right.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for all you've done for Northern California since you've been here.
No kidding. For all those people that are out there wondering, all right, what's next? What could they possibly do next? We've got Michael Shaw from the Freedom Advocates next week. I'm looking at their website right now. It's freedomadvocates.org. Freedom Advocates promotes the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as expressed in the American Declaration of Independence. Today, many laws and policies implement Agenda 21 and sustainable development, which ignore and violate unalienable rights. So guess what? You're going to learn more about all this next week. We told you private property rights were going to be exciting. There's tons of good stuff going on. We'll see you tomorrow night. Reading Tea Party, 6 p.m., 2570, South Bonneview. Elizabeth, closing thoughts?
Have a great Sunday, and don't say we didn't warn you.
Absolutely. KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Fox News Radio.